Marriage equality has made incredible progress in the past couple of years as state-by-state court decisions clear the way for more and more Americans legally to marry a same-gender partner. Now, with a growing clamor for the Supreme Court to weigh in on the issue on a national level, I'm joined by attorney Chantel Fiebig, who works closely on marriage equality with the American Foundation for Equal Rights. Chantel, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Could you help us understand the identity of the groups on either side of these calls for Supreme Court action?
Sure. We represent two same-sex couples, one who was married in California and seek to have their marriage recognized by the Commonwealth of Virginia, and then another couple that wants to be married in Virginia, but they were denied a marriage license because they are a same-sex couple. And across the country, most of these cases are being brought by individual couples like our clients who are seeking relief from the courts. There are, in some instances, class actions, meaning an entire class of gay and lesbian individuals who seek to marry a partner of their choosing. We have a class of plaintiffs actually involved in our case now on appeal. On the other side of the debate, generally tend to be state officials who are defending the laws in the states where they have been elected. So, for example, in Utah, that lawsuit is being defended by public officials there. In our case in Virginia, what we've seen is the Attorney General undertake an independent constitutional assessment of the constitutionality of these laws, and he reached the conclusion that he could not and would not defend the laws any longer. And so instead of the Attorney General of Virginia defending Virginia's marriage ban, we have two local court clerks who are responsible for issuing the marriage licenses defending these laws. So as a general matter, what we see are gay couples on one side, state officials on the other side.
Tell our listeners about the mechanics that the justices have to be concerned about in deciding whether or not to involve themselves. Is it a matter of them choosing a relevant case out of a number that are available to them, or is it something else?
They'll want to choose a case where they can consider all aspects of the marriage equality question. So, for example, in certain cases, there are couples who are seeking the right to marry, but the court is not presented with the question of whether an out-of-state marriage has to be recognized by a state as legal. And so the best vehicle for the court to decide this issue will let the court decide the question from all angles. So that will be, I think, one of the primary decision-making components for the Supreme Court in choosing which case to decide.
Well, when we got the rulings on DOMA and Prop 8, I think the perception was that the justices were wanting at least to move slowly and cautiously, and at times it even had the feel they didn't want to do anything at all that was as big as the kind of decision we're looking at. Do you think it's changed among the justices?
Well, I think certainly justices, it would be difficult for them to be immune to the changes that everyone has seen across the country, which includes the virtually unanimous cascade of decisions finding in favor of marriage equality from the other federal courts. And when the court decided Prop 8 in DOMA last summer, they didn't have the benefit of very careful legal analysis from so many lower courts to inform their decision. So that will certainly be different when the case comes up this year.
Well, you've been right on top of this all along. When you came out of the decisions related to DOMA and Prop 8, did you think we would move with this amount of speed to get a decision from the High Court?
I don't think anyone could have predicted that the issues would develop as quickly as they have, but needless to say, we are thrilled that the case led by Ted Olson and David Boies and Prop 8, and to be so rapidly followed by the string of federal decisions, to now be in a position to potentially be before the Supreme Court again in a case that doesn't have any of the procedural deficiencies that precluded the court from deciding the question in Prop 8, that is very exciting.
Evidently, people on both sides of the issue are equally optimistic regarding what the High Court might say. I'm just curious how you view that.
I don't know that both sides could reasonably be as optimistic. I think that the communities working in favor of marriage equality have good reason to be optimistic about the outcome, and to hope that the Supreme Court will come down on the right side of history. But I think what we've seen from proponents of these marriage bans is a cooling of their optimism, of their likelihood of prevailing. And I think we've seen that in some of the state court officials that have decided that they will no longer defend litigations where it is clear to them that the writing is on the wall and that these laws inevitably must fall.
Yeah. Well, we're getting awfully close to the first Monday in October. Do you think the Supreme Court's likely to take this on in next month's session?
We're optimistic that they will. It's hard to tell what the Supreme Court will do at this stage of the proceedings, but they have several cases that are all fully presented to the court and primed for resolution. So if they ever would like to consider the case, they have many qualified candidates to select from.
Would you hazard a guess as to where this matter will stand a year from now?
I would hope a year from now that we have a decision on marriage equality that recognizes the fundamental right of gay men and women across the country to marry the person that they love. And I hope that in whichever case or whichever number of cases the Supreme Court decides to consider the issue in, the Supreme Court will do so in a way that secures that right for all gay men and women across the country.
Chantel Fiebig is counsel with Gibson Dunn in Washington, D.C., who works closely on marriage equality with the American Foundation for Equal Rights. AFER has invaluable resources on its website at afer.org for understanding the current status of marriage equality and the possible scenarios that might lead to a nationwide ruling from the Supreme Court. Chantel, helpful information from you. Thanks so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you for having me.